Now, what are the conditions of promotion? The main conditions of promotions. Now, promotions happen without promotion. Increment is fine, but sometimes some promotions calls for an increment, may not call for an increment as well. So reassignment of high level job than what he is presently performing is what is the idea behind the promotion. Okay, he has to do something higher than what he has been doing. Only then the promotion calls for a promotion. The employee will naturally be delegated with greater responsibility and authority. Right? And it will be normally accompanied by a higher pay. Otherwise, it is not the, it's not very conducive enough to call it promotion. Okay. And what are different types of promotion? There are three types of promotions, actually. One is vertical promotion. Now, when you talk about vertical promotion, what do you understand by that? Vertical is, you know, this way. That's the vertical promotion, which means you are an assistant manager, you became a manager. You were a manager, you became a senior manager. You were an AVP, you became a VP. So that's what is your vertical promotion all about, where you grow in your ranks. One is your, which is your, sometimes what happens is AVP and VP does not, already their head's position, but because of the fact that people, so it, the spans to break the span effectively and to have better retention, the levels are being created. Okay. So it could be sometimes a vertical promotion only from the basis of ranks. Second is your upgradation, a complete upgradation of your skills, team, everything has happened, even from the business. You were handling a business of 5 CR and now you have been given a responsibility of 10 CR, which means a complete upgradation on your promotion. And then there is a dry promotion. Now, what do you understand by each of them? Okay, and dry promotion, where you do not have too much of risk changes. It's just the same. It's just that, just for the fact that you have been given in the interim, organization wants you to take on certain responsibility. Hence, the promotion has been bestowed on you. So what are the purposes of promotion? Organizations promote the employees with a view to achieve some purposes, right? So there are some purposes that the organization would have. So utilize the employees to be able to utilize the employee's skill and knowledge as the at the appropriate level. Okay, so in the hierarchy of organization, that's what is most important for the organization, to create promotions so that you at the substantial level are being utilized at across businesses. Second purpose is to develop competent internal source of employee ready to take up job at any point in time, okay, depending on the kind of adversities that are going on in the environment. To promote a feeling of content within the organization, as I said, sometimes spans have been created just to create a content in the mind of the employees so that you feel like working in the organization, so that you see that there is growth. For example, if you're the organization is very, very flat. I'm not saying the flat organization is bad. It's good enough. Okay. But if you see that you are a manager and your next promotion is the vice president. Okay. And your vice president sits in a cabin and you sit on the floor there. And you know that from the floor to the distance from your floor to the, cabin is, even though the fact that, you know, you only have one level, sometimes it could be looked at positively, sometimes it could be looked at negatively as well. If the person inside the cabin is too young and he is very, very aspiring and very, very loyal to the organization, you see that the distance could be quite long. Okay, and it could be looked the other way around as well. Okay, and to promote a feeling of content, as I mentioned, there's a loyalty factor that gets created because of, when you see different layers of promotions available. Now, what are the basis of promotions? On what basis the promotions have been done? So one is the merit-based promotion. A completely merit is taken into consideration. Your knowledge, skills and attributes, efficiency and effectiveness has been measured from your educational background, your trainings that you had in the past, the overall employment record, your contribution. So all these will include when you talk about the basis of promotions. Measurement or judging of merit is very, very difficult. You cannot judge merit just like that. It has to be very, very subjective in nature. Techniques of merit measurement are subjective, and merit denotes achievement and efficiency, but not the future success. Okay. So merit, sometimes people with very low merit also become very, very successful in life. So merit does not denote achievement for future. Let's take a note of that. And another one is your seniority-based promotions. Mostly you'll see it in public sector and government sector. The promotions are based on the senior. You have to spend a tenure of 5 years in order to be able to get promoted to the next level. Okay? There are certain disadvantages when you talk about the career management system. Okay, sometimes what happens, the learning curve may be an increasing, and you know, with increasing seniority, it becomes very difficult for the person to learn new things and adapt new things. Okay, so as and when your seniority grows, you also have, there's a challenge on your learning curve. It demotivates the young and more competent employees and results in employee turnover, particularly among the dynamic workforce. So if you have dynamic, youngsters in the organizations, it demotivates the young and competent employees, basically, you know, if you have a particular norm of saying this, you know, the promotion happens only basis the seniority in a particular role, you know, then the dynamic workforce will not stay static there. Okay, they want changes, they want dynamism in their lives. So it will demotivate them. Now, what are the different things like transfer? How does that transfer work? Now, transfer is a process of placing the employee in positions where they are likely to be more effective or where they get more job satisfaction. Okay, in transfers, there is no change in the responsibility, designation, status, or salary. Okay, so transfer is just like-to-like movement. It's an apple-to-apple comparison. For example, I feel now it's a remote condition, okay? One of the executives said that, you know, he lives in Mumbai and the cost of living in Mumbai is very, very high. And he's completely 100% remote working, and the organization has decided that for the next 3 years, they're going to work from home only. They will work completely remotely. And he is a tenant paying 20,000 rent every month. And he's a bachelor and does not require really a house and all of that. So he says, okay, why don't I go move back to, as you know, as long as you have an office, it's a remote working from home 100%. Why don't I shift to, you know, I want to go back to Nasik, and Nasik is my hometown. So if required, I can come anytime from Nasik to Mumbai, but I can be placed, I can be moved to, so on the transfer to the base of Nasik. So the company goes ahead and does this without giving any additional perk or anything, okay? But sometimes if it's intra-transfer or something like that, which is intrastate or, international, so then it probably, depending on the cost of living of this, or from a B-CAT city to a A-CAT city, you might have to look at, if at all the business demand is there and the person got transferred because of the business demand, then they look at it as an added perk for the cost of living. It happens for international postings as well. So some of the reasons of transfer is that employees do not need transfer in order to satisfy their desire to work under a friendly supervisor. There are a lot of people who also opt for a transfer because they have worked with that manager in the past. They have liked working. They have a good rapport with the manager. Because of that comfort, they prefer a transfer. To utilize employees' skill, knowledge, etc., where they are more suitable or required because of the business. Okay, so probably the skill sets are more applicable there in that department, so hence the person also gets transferred. Sometimes there is a interpersonal conflict between peers as well. So then also, instead of losing, but the employee is very, very good. Okay, in isolation, both the employees are very good, but they both do not get along together in the same project. So hence the movement has been done. To give relief to the employees who are overburdened or doing complicated or risky work for a very long period. So for example, if you're based on a location which involves a lot of risk, the job which involves a lot of risk, you are doing that long period of time, you may be given a little ease by moving into an easier role. So there are transfers which are of three categories. So employee initiated ones, which the employee himself says that, okay, I want the transfer, as I gave you the example, movement from Mumbai to Nasik. The second one is the company initiated, where because the business requirement is there, the company has initiated. Company said, okay, would you like to, since you're single, you do not have a family hang up, would you like to take a deputation in, you know, say somewhere in Malaysia? The person agrees to it, and the company has to initiate, company initiated transfer. Okay, and then the public initiated transfers, which means it is because the politicians have wanted it. Normally happens in the government and the public sector only. For example, the government and the political you know, authorities are not pleased with this person, or they want somebody to be brought in. So those kind of reasons, there could be a transfer. Okay. Now, what are the benefits of transfer? So sometimes if you are willingly, if the employee has initiated the benefit, it could increase in productivity as well, because he's saving on the rent, he's able to manage his savings much better. So then what will happen is it will definitely increase his productivity. It could be a greater job satisfaction to some employees, because I'm able to work closely with my previous supervisor. Company has, you know, helped me to get the transfer. So I'm doing well there. Improve employee skills, remedy for wrong placement. If the wrong placement happened, his skills were not getting utilized. Transferring him to the relevant department will make him utilize it. Develop employees for future promotions. Avoid monotony and boredom. Okay, all this will be the benefits of transfer. Okay, now comes your knowledge management. Now, what do you understand by knowledge management? Knowledge management is basically utilizing the process of creating, sharing, utilizing the knowledge of the organization to a right purpose. Okay, it refers to a multidisciplinary approach to achieve organizational objective by making the best use of knowledge. So you have a repository of a knowledge, of knowledge of the organization, and you have been utilizing the knowledge in such a way that it has been, it is directly linked to the achievement of organizational goals. Okay, in simple terms, knowledge management is nothing but about getting the right information to the right person at the right time. It is not as simple as it's been put here. It is not so simple. There's a knowledge management managers as well, which are designated knowledge management resources. Okay, they do nothing but only custodians and implementers of the knowledge management systems within the organization. Okay, now what are the benefits and the process of knowledge management? Okay, so now these are the benefits and this is the process. This is the process. Okay, now what is the management here? It aids in learning from previous failures and successes. Don't you think so? If you have your list of your successes and your failures in the past, it's very easy to recall those and then take corrective actions. It enhances organizational capability and innovation. Okay, so if at all this something didn't work, what is it that I'm going to work? What is the budget that we're looking at? What is it that we want to achieve and we kind of innovated? Helps protect critical knowledge and competencies. So these are some of the benefits of having a knowledge management in place. What is the process of it? It helps you. It unearths the determination of knowledge. It helps you to find ways and means of finding out the knowledge. Second is it helps you to it's a process of classification and evaluation of the knowledge, that you classify and categorize them and you evaluate them, that where you're using it. Okay, dispensing the knowledge, sharing the knowledge in the relevant category or relevant requirement, reusing the knowledge. If you've used it once, does not mean that has gone forever. Now you utilize it for next. Building knowledge and procuring. From where are you sourcing the knowledge? So this is the process of knowledge management. So on the left is your benefits. On the right is your process of knowledge management. Now, quality of work life. Now, what do you mean by quality of work life? Meaning, the literal meaning of it is that a lot of people have a lot of concern about, the wages. The wages should be proper, there should be good salary, the working hours should be convenient, the working condition should be, you know, good enough. So quality work life means different things to different people. For some people, it could be just a, like I was listening to one of the podcasts, and there was this one guy who's into data analytics in one of the software companies. And he said, I dislike working from home completely. Okay, and most youngsters would. So they said, why? So their question was asked, why do you not like, I'm not preferring working from home at all? Because he said, you know what, I live with my parents. My father is, is a carpenter. I mean, he lost his job, and then he is taking some or the other orders from home only. So there's a lot of noise there. And my mom is a tutor. And we have a, one room kitchen apartment only. And in that same room, all three of us are occupied. All three of us are in our respective occupations, owing to earning our livelihoods. So for me to work there and do analytics job is becoming almost next to impossible, but I'm somehow managing because I have to provide for my family and my siblings. So hence it becomes, so everybody, and some people say that, you know what, I'm not finding it good working remotely because of the fact that I'm feeling too bored, surrounded by people all the time. All right. So it could be different for different people. So quality of work-life improvement are defined as any activity which takes place at every level of an organization, which seeks greater organizational effectiveness through the enhancement of human dignity and growth. Four ways to achieve an excellent quality of work-life. First is your job satisfaction. It's very clear. It's very self-explanatory. Job satisfaction refers to how satisfied an employee is in his organization. Factors such as working environment, the kind of people that you work with, the security and the stability of your job, the responsibilities that you're undertaking, and the impact that is created because of your individual job. And an individual job satisfaction level. So these are some of the parameters through which you get job satisfaction. Workplace stress. It's a silent killer. All of us are aware. We have spoken in the previous chapters also. This is especially true for most working individuals with the added pressure to manage their work life. Employees feel extreme levels of stress because, and especially now in the pandemic situation, to manage everything at the same time. In between, we did not even have house helps. You know, people who had small children had to manage their babies online. Elder child being some toddler, and the younger child being the infant. Plus, the job has to go on. The mother is working as a teacher. She has to do online sessions, online classes. She herself has to do online tutor. School is online, completely operational. The husband has to again work from another room. So everybody was at home and doing all kinds of job together. So it could really get into a high levels of stress as well if you're not able to manage it well. Okay, so not only does it impact their physical health, it also affects their emotional well-being because you're just overwhelmed. You just don't know what to do when. You don't know how to manage your time. It can just get into a stress levels. If it may affect your physical health, or it may also impact your mental health. Financial reimbursements, the purpose behind any work to get a substantial income in return. Don't you think so? All of us work to earn something so that there's some income that comes home. Rewards, pay, benefits, these enhances obviously the quality work life in an individual. With better compensation, employees are more involved in their work. There are a lot of employees who are very, very critical to their compensation because their income is so important to the entire household. Okay, so if the mother and father are ailing, siblings are still studying, and this man is the only one who is working, he has to provide for everybody. He has to spend a substantial amount on the recovery of his parents. He has to spend on the academics, all of that. So hence, this person will be more motivated as and when his compensation improves. Work-life balance, rigid work schedules sometimes become a big no for current millennial workforce. Millennial workforce always likes flexible work hours. They do not like fixated work hours. They like it to be flexible. The modern worker always wants to balance his life at work with his personal life as well, because they will be present throughout in social media. They will be doing every kind of activities. That means more remote working and more flexible work hours are expected by work-life balance. So in some cases, as I mentioned to you, that quality of work life will depend, the criteria of of calling a quality of work life will depend on, you know, will depend on different things for different people. Okay, some people could be the working from home, working from office, vice versa. Some people might have a comfort level on transfer to a river, to your home location and things like that. Okay, so there are some criteria could be, some of the criteria could be also adequate and fair compensation. There are different opinions about adequate compensation. Some people think that, you know, I'm 15 years experienced, I should be having a salary, a bracket of this. And but the organization feels that your skills are over a period of time getting redundant and you're not upgrading yourself. So hence your growth cannot be as much. So but it will definitely, lead on to the quality of work life. Safe and healthy working conditions. If you're working in a factory and then, you know, you have all the time, your eyes are burning because you're all the time around the chemicals and all of that. So how your working condition is, because it could lead to your health conditions as well. Okay, so and most of the organizations nowadays provide safe and healthy working conditions due to the humanitarian requirements that are there from the environment. Okay, so and the legal requirement as well. Gone are those days where you are, you know, if at all you are supposed to be in that production area, probably you might be, you know, provided with gears to take care of your, eyesight and things like that. So organizations are nowadays mostly safe and healthy. Opportunity to use and develop human capacities. Okay, so contrary to the traditional assumptions, the quality of work life will also has improved to the extent that the worker can exercise more control over his or her work and the degree to which the job embraces an entire meaningful task, but not a part of it. So the way you are improving your human capability, the way you are contributing to the entire organization. That also is one of the criteria. For example, you feel that your job plays a very, very small part and you have much more potential to contribute and you're not getting the relevant exposure. That also could lead into a question around quality of work life. Opportunity for career growth. As I said, if you do not have spans to grow, if you do not see then your next promotion very soon, you will get demotivated. Social integration in the workforce. So social integration can be established by creating freedom of, you know, from prejudice, supporting primary work groups, a sense of community, interpersonal openness, all of that, upward mobility. All these will, improve your social integration because you are being covered in a lot of spaces. Okay, so you are being present. You're able to contribute much more than mere job of yours. Okay, so you are contributing towards the community. You are free of the prejudices. There'll be a lot of organizations even today who are very, very prejudiced in their mind. Say, for example, there are some companies who allows the women to wear only Indian outfits to work. They're not allowed to wear a trouser and a top or a blouse. They say either you come in a sari or you come in a salwar suit. I have seen so many organizations like that, especially the family driven businesses, SMEs. They go through this and hence, you get those prejudiced. So those kind of social integration in the workforce. Constitutionalism in the work organization. Now, what do you mean by that? Quality work life provides constitutional protection to the employee only to the level of desirability, as it hampers sometimes workers. So what happens? It provides for the balanced relationship among work and non-work and family aspects of life. So these are some of the considerations that the organization should take care when it comes to quality of work life. Social relevance of work. How much are you contributing to the society? Socially, how beneficial is it? Is it sustainable, the work that you're doing? Everybody nowadays look at it, then what am I doing? So when I'm doing my job, what is it that I'm contributing to the society? Okay, so how relevant it is, how relevant is my job to the society? So a lot of employees feel that way. So a lot of people will feel, will find quality of work life to be superior when they feel that they're very close to sustainability. They're very close to the society. Now, specific issues that happens in quality work life. Okay, so trade unions claim that they are responsible for improvement in various facilities. They say that they always there is always a chicken and the egg story. The trade unions say that, you know, because of the fact that we allow them to, we help them claim their rights, that's the reason they are happy, okay? And the organization takes credit for that. We are giving better salaries than the industry. We are, providing them with benefits. We are giving them different working facilities. All of that contributes to their, quality of work life. However, HR manager has identified specific issues in quality work life, besides these normal wages, salaries, and all of that, okay, and takes lead in providing them to maintain higher order of quality work life. So Claude Mundick and Schuster suggested 11 major quality work life issues. Okay, so these are the 11 work life issues that are there in front of you: pay and stability of employment, occupational stress, organization health programs, alternative schedules, participative management and control of work, congenial worker supervisor relations, grievance procedures, adequacy of resources, employee or employment on permanent basis. So sometimes it is, your employment is on contractual basis. So people would expect a permanent employment as well. Seniority and merit in promotions. Okay, so all of these are some of the specific issues that have been highlighted under quality work life. Now, when you talk about quality work life and fringe benefits, so HR manager has to build and maintain the quality work life, providing a wide range of fringe benefits. So what are the fringe benefits? Some in, providing cars to the top management, providing some entertainment allowance, all kinds of different kinds of international trips. These are some of the fringe benefits that the, sick leave alienation. Some could be, your reduction in the absenteeism and the turnover. The benefits or the maintenance activities measure include medical and health benefits as well. Okay, so for example, if your if your child is born apart from your maternity leave, which your wife gets, she gets from her work, you also as a father get a leave of say 2 weeks as a father, the benefit. So these are some of the fringe benefits that the HR manager can work on to be able to improve the quality of work life. Basically, these are perceptions that it gets improved. You cannot directly improve the quality of work life. It's only the perceptions of employees that get developed. So the general perception is that an improvement in quality work life costs much to the organization. Nevertheless, it is not so important over the existing salary, working conditions and benefits will not cost much. So a lot of people say that, the general perception is that, it does not cost as much. That's what the employees think, that, how much money will it cost? The organization is thinking so much. But then, it is something which is a cognizant step that the organization has to take, and they have to take it for across the level or across the bands. It cannot do it for a specific band. Performance should mean not only physical output but also the behavior of the worker in helping colleagues in solving job-related issues that they have, accepting orders with enthusiasm. It's not that, the moment your order came, you are, making a face and, there are too much of work. It should not be like that. Accepting temporary unfavorable work conditions also without complaint. Okay, so these are also some of the expectations that that organizations would have from the employees. So quality of work life and HRD. Now, quality of work life is broader than the motivation, okay? Though these two terms seem to be similar, all personal related activities affect your quality of work life. Some examples are given here. You can see it here, okay? Say, this is the activity and this is the effect on quality of work life. Now, when you talk about job analysis, analyze the job in such a way that human needs like freedom, challenging work autonomy can be satisfied. So you need to scrutinize your job in such a way that things like freedom, challenging work autonomy, these are all you know, kind of you're able to relate to it. You're able to get a sense of it that yes, how it is, how the after the analysis it's making sense of me. How is it affecting my work life? Selection, selecting the right person and placing him in the right position. This satisfies needs for reward and interesting work. For example, I got what I deserve. I got selected in the company that I deserve, or I got the role which I deserved. Okay, so it's again a very, very self-satisfying thing. Job enrichment satisfies higher order needs like pride, ego, etc. You know, I feel really pride because I work very close to the top management. So I take pride in that. Job evaluation, equitable wages. When job evaluation has happened, no matter he's lateral, he's existing, he's from a high potential, the equitable wages are taken care of. So hence, job evaluation gets satisfied. So these are some of the activities of human resource development that they do in order to bring in quality of work life for employees. Thank you so much.